Imagine a woman 7 months pregnant, standing on stage delivering raunchy jokes about sex and relationships while her belly protrudes prominently. This was Ali Wong's breakout moment in her Netflix special Baby Cobra, shattering comedy norms and catapulting her to stardom. Behind the shocking punchlines of her memoir, Dear Girls, lies something profound. Letters to her daughters, not to be opened until they're 21, that serve as a blueprint for authenticity in a world that often demands women be anything but themselves. As Wong confesses in her opening lines, "I'm a fucking idiot," setting the tone for perhaps the most refreshingly honest celebrity memoir of our time. What makes this book resonate so deeply with everyone from young women to Michelle Obama is its unapologetic examination of the messy realities we rarely discuss openly. My Raynaud's disease, inherited from my father, meant my ice-cold White Walker fingers scared off 5 consecutive men. I'd frantically warm my hands before dates like a boxer prepping for a fight. Then, at a Napa Vineyard wedding, I spotted your father, the only other Asian person there. Our first date was memorably awful, a terrible Pan-Asian restaurant where he showed up in Lululemon yoga wear while I dressed up, and he forgot his wallet. I believe men should pay for first dates to balance women's preparation efforts. Weeks later, his chiseled face and deep voice drew me back in. By our third date doing yoga, I won him over with vegan peanut noodles. On our fifth date, he kissed me on my apartment stoop wearing a corduroy mousse sweatshirt. Years later, he proposed on that same stoop, complete with a homeless man arguing with a pigeon, a quintessential New York moment. I knew I'd found my person. I wanted children early because my parents were older when they had me. Mom 42, Dad 47. They never did active things with me like riding roller coasters. When my father was dying, he revealed I was an accident from forgotten birth control. Perhaps my drive comes from wanting to prove my worth. Unlike my unplanned beginning, my daughters were meticulously planned, though scheduling ovulation sex killed romance. At 31, I got pregnant after 1 month of trying and announced it immediately. At 11 weeks, I miscarried. People's responses were often tactless. "Why? Did you take folic acid?" It was probably from performing. The best response to miscarriage is simply, "I'm so sorry." Learning that even Beyoncé had miscarried brought me comfort. If the goddess queen experienced it, I could accept my loss too. 3 months later, I conceived Mari. At 37 weeks, after failed induction, I needed an emergency C-section, my first lesson that nothing with children can be controlled. During the difficult spinal placement, I swore never again to my husband. But seeing Mari's face minutes later, I immediately wanted another. I'd always dreamed of being a stay-at-home mom filled with meditations, smoothies, and charity work. Reality proved different. Actual stay-at-home moms are too busy being moms to do any of those things. 8 weeks home with Mari left me exhausted, despite having an easy baby. Between endless diaper changes and nursing challenges, I'd modified my clothes for breastfeeding and could barely wait for my husband's return to grab a shower break. Watching Jiro Dreams of Sushi, I became fixated on Mrs. Jiro's absence from the documentary. While Jiro earned acclaim for his dedication to sushi, someone had to raise those sons. I refused to disappear into the background of another story. My prenup was a wake-up call. Leaving work could leave me unemployable and vulnerable if we divorced. Though this fear kept me working, it became a blessing in disguise, even as I struggle balancing career and motherhood. Stand-up comedy seems simple, but its logistics are daunting. Most women avoid it for safety reasons. Traveling to multiple venues daily means frequent risk exposure. San Francisco provided my start at Brainwash Cafe, a laundromat cafe serving as an unofficial homeless shelter. The venues were often challenging, like our little theater in the Tenderloin and the ill-equipped Marsh's Mott Cafe. To get beyond brief open mics, I produced my own shows with names like Hustle and Faux. My early material was intentionally crude and explicit. New York offered opportunity with harsh realities. I lived in a Soho loft with 8 others, worked at a cleft palate nonprofit, and survived on bulk lentils and cheap chicken. Female comics face unique wardrobe challenges. While men perform comfortably in hoodies, women feel pressured toward impractical dresses and heels, as I learned during my Tonight Show debut. Stand-up demands authenticity over appearance. Studying abroad transforms you through open-mindedness, empathy, and cultural immersion. In Vietnam, I discovered incredible food beyond familiar foe, 30 varieties of noodle soups, like Mien Luen with fried eels, all remarkably affordable. I even grew to love Trung Vit Lon, fertilized duck embryo, despite its intimidating appearance. The intense heat made exercise impossible, and local students teased us Vietnamese-American girls about our size. My roommate and I chose a homestay to improve our Vietnamese, where our host's nephew cooked MSG heavy meals that challenged my Muslim roommate's stomach. A memorable meal at a restaurant called Hell gave us both food poisoning, creating a lasting friendship that endures as we raise our families. My journey to Vietnam was partly to reconnect with my Vietnamese heritage, which was overshadowed by my father's dominant Chinese culture at home. Watching my mother visit during my semester abroad revealed a different person, confident and vivacious in her native language, unlike her reserved demeanor in America, where she faced discrimination from both racism and my father's Chinese-American circle. I was a rebellious teenager who clashed with my mother. If karma exists, I'll face similar challenges when my daughters reach adolescence. My rebellion began at 11, with smoking, shoplifting, provocative clothing, drugs, and dating older guys. Feeling out of place among white classmates and eager to match my older siblings' maturity, I even stuffed maxi pads in my leggings to seem more grown up. Cultural differences fueled conflicts with my mom. Her war-torn Vietnamese childhood contrasted sharply with my privileged rebellion. She struggled to understand my platonic male friendships or offer relationship guidance, having only ever kissed my father. The wild behavior persisted through college, with parties and questionable choices, yet these experiences helped shape my identity and voice. Mari's birth transformed my perspective on motherhood. My mother showed up consistently, handling diapers, cleaning, cooking, and childcare. Though she wasn't the typical American mom with heartfelt letters and spa dates, she gave me something more valuable: stability, strength, education, and unconditional love. I aspire to match even half her maternal dedication.